The Spirit of the Lord calls us to prepare for the ministry of the Lord Jesus through confession and repentance.
Wonder Lake Bible Church,
building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Well, the major theme in today's message, I have no doubt, is a favorite topic for many of us here. And that is this theme right here. Repentance. That's always a popular one, right? If you want to get a big crowd, say, we're going to talk about repenting of sin. Repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of mind that results in a change of direction. A change of mind that results in a change of direction. Now, it is not simply feeling sorry for one's sins. That's part of repentance, is that feeling of sorrow over sin. But it isn't simply feeling sorry for our sin, because oftentimes people feel sorry for their sins, but it's not repentance. People often feel sorry for the consequences of their sins, don't they? They feel bad about what their sin has done to them or to others. But simply feeling bad about consequences, that is not repentance. True repentance involves a grieving over the fact of one's sinfulness, not simply feeling bad about the consequences of our sinful attitudes and behavior. So true repentance is a grieving over our sin and our sinfulness. True repentance involves confession of our sin. Biblical confession is agreeing with God about our sin. Confession literally means to say the same thing, about our sin that God says about it. And so confession and repentance go hand in hand. You can't have repentance without confession. Repentance, then, is a change of mind that results in a change of direction. A change of mind that results in an act of the will to turn away from our sin and to turn toward God and His truth. Now, I wish that I could tell you that repentance was a one-time event that permanently alters our every decision thereafter toward holiness. Has anyone experienced that? You came to a point, you repented of your sin, you grieved over your sinfulness, and you turned away from your sin, and you turned toward God and His righteousness, His truth, His holiness. And then every choice since then has always been toward holiness and righteousness. Anybody here, has that been your experience? Okay, one brave person among us. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? Repentance is not a one-time event that permanently alters our every decision toward holiness. Now, I have to say, I have often found myself identifying with the Apostle Paul when he says in Romans 7 that he doesn't understand what he does. He says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Can anyone else here identify with that struggle, with that inner battle with sin? I have no doubt that when we come to Christ in true faith and repentance, our lives have forever changed. Our destinies have forever changed. And there is a whole brand new orientation of our hearts away from sin and toward God and holiness, righteousness. But that doesn't mean the battle is over, does it? It is true that confession and repentance of sin, which brings salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a one-time event. We don't need to keep getting saved. Aren't you glad for that, by the way, that you don't need to keep on getting saved? But the call to discipleship, the call to holiness, the call to following Jesus every day for the rest of our lives, that confession and repentance is an ongoing way of life, not a one-time event, an ongoing way of life every day. A daily decision, a moment-by-moment decision to say no to sin and yes to holiness. To say no to our sinful desires and yes to God's holy will. To say no to the fleeting pleasures of this world and yes to the righteousness that will endure forever. Repentance is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of turning away from sin and embracing God's righteousness. And how good it is to how good it is to know that God's grace abounds, that He gives us grace upon grace. Remember, the Scriptures tell us that we have received from Christ the fullness of grace, immeasurable grace upon grace, like those ocean waves on the shore that just keep coming. So is God's grace toward us, His beloved children. Isn't that good to know? It is. Well, I say all of that as an introduction, not only to the message today, but to our new sermon series, which is the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. What I want us to see as we begin our look, our examination at the Gospel of Mark, we see that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a miracle-working man of action. He is the Son of Man, and He is the servant of the Lord. And He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. So the Gospel of Mark calls sinners to saving faith in Jesus. But it also then, it encourages the disciple of Jesus, the follower of Jesus, to faithfully follow the example of Jesus. Mark, who wrote Mark? Conveniently enough, some guy named Mark. But actually, maybe you know him as also as John or John Mark. Who is John Mark? Well, he was a young man who was a relative of Barnabas. And we encounter him in the Scripture. Actually, the first time we encounter him, I believe, is in a passage in the Gospel of Mark in which Mark doesn't come off looking too good at that moment. But we're just going to hold that thought right there. I'm going to keep you in suspense for that. The next time we see Mark in the Scriptures, though, we see him going out on a mission trip with Barnabas, with Paul. But partway through the trip, we, for reasons we don't really quite know why, he left them. He was homesick. He came back. He left them. And it caused a dispute between Barnabas and Paul. The next time that they were going to go out, Barnabas wanted to take cousin Mark along. Paul didn't want to. But then we see later how John, Mark, and Paul, how Paul says he is useful. We see the growth that had occurred in Mark. Mark is associated closely with the ministry of the Apostle Peter. He was writing this probably around A.D. 60. I'm not going to tell you with all of the academic arguments about late 50s to late 60s. So we're just going to say around 60 and split the difference. How's that? Okay. So around A.D. 60, that is about 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus. Who is he writing to? Well, primarily to Roman Gentile Christians. And the Romans were people of action. They weren't as concerned with what you say. They were more concerned about what you do. And that's why Mark is very much an action gospel. What was Mark's purpose? Mark's purpose, I believe, then, was to give a written record of the verbal testimony of the Apostle Peter regarding the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, then, to encourage followers of Jesus to stand firm in a hostile environment. You know, our society, our culture now is getting a little more hostile to the faith. Has anyone noticed that? Or is that just me? Has anybody else noticed that? Well, it isn't first century Rome yet, right, Don? Not yet, but we're getting there. So he was encouraging followers of Jesus to stand firm, to grow in their faith, and follow the example, be encouraged by the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, Mark then is a gospel of action. It's a gospel of action in which Jesus, the servant of the Lord, has come to serve and give his life a ransom for many. One of the phrases that you will see over and over again is this is, immediately, and immediately, Jesus did this. And then immediately, Jesus did this. Immediately, this happened. Action, action, action. Some of you like movies where it's just this long, pondering dialogue. Anybody like movies like that? Some of you are saying, I love movies like that, okay? But some of you know, you like movies, action movies, you know, things are blowing up and this has happened. Every 5 seconds there's another explosion. See, there's a fan of that right there. So, it's all kinds of different movies. Something for every day. Well, you know what? There are differences in the God. It's the same Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same story. It's the same gospel, but sometimes there's a different perspective or a little different shading of that. Mark is about action, action, action. What Jesus came to do, what Jesus accomplished through what he did. Today, then, is calling people to prepare. To prepare. And the message I want us to take away from this, is that the Spirit of the Lord, calls us to prepare for the ministry of the Lord Jesus through confession and repentance. John the Baptist was called to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And how did John prepare the people for the Lord Jesus? By calling them to confession and repentance. Was that a one-time event way back then for other people? No, it wasn't a one-time event for them either. It was a way of life for them, but it's calling people to confess their sin, to repent of their sin, to turn toward the Lord, to prepare for the ministry of the Lord Jesus among them. And people need to do the same today, to prepare for the ministry of the Lord Jesus among them by confessing our sin, turning from it, and turning to God. God calls the sinner to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And he continues to call the believer in Jesus Christ through sanctifying faith in Jesus Christ, to growing faith in Jesus Christ, to greater holiness and righteousness, faith and obedience. Prepare for the ministry of the Lord Jesus through confession and repentance. Our first scripture verse is exactly that. It's only one verse. We're starting in Mark chapter 1, verse 1 right there, because, boy, there's so much right there, just that first verse right there. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, here's something that makes Mark's gospel different from Matthew and Luke, and even from John. Matthew and Luke have quite a bit to say, especially Luke, about everything that occurred before the coming of Jesus, the preparing that through the birth of Jesus, right? Mark doesn't spend any time at all addressing the birth of Jesus. But what, he just, bam, here's the action. He calls for action right from the beginning. He starts with the ministry of John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus and the temptation of Jesus right there at the beginning. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel. When did the gospel begin? Well, I think in some ways, in one sense, the gospel began right there in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? After the very first sin. When there is that first hint right there of a Savior to come. Right there in Genesis 3. Of course, the gospel has been in God's infinite eternal mind from eternity, hasn't it? But as we encounter that from our human perspective in time, we see that first hint of the gospel right there when the human race has fallen into sin. Didn't take God by surprise. And there was a plan of redemption. There was a plan of redemption. In one sense, you might say the gospel began from eternity. In another sense, we say it began in the garden. But here for Mark, the beginning of the gospel is with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are, front and center stage, the beginning of the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel, of course, means what? In two words, it means what? Gospel means good news. Good news. Anybody like hearing good news here? Yeah. This is the greatest good news that's ever been proclaimed. But isn't it amazing that here this the greatest good news that's ever been proclaimed or ever could be proclaimed, and yet sometimes it inspires such what? Anger. Hatred for it. Why is that? Well, I think there's a lot of reasons for it. We'll go into that today. But the fact remains, this is the greatest news ever, isn't it? It is the ultimate good news. It's the good news what? Of forgiveness of sin and eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes it inspires opposition. Why? Because sinful people don't like being told they're sinful, do they? They don't like being told they must confess and repent of their sin. But with the gospel, though, comes hope, the hope of eternal life, hope here and now. Do you think that people need hope today? Do you think that people in Wonder Lake need hope today? Well, I know they do. But I'll give you just one little example of how I know people need hope right here in Wonder Lake. Many of you know that I have the privilege of serving as a chaplain with the Wonder Lake Fire Department. And in that capacity, I carry this around and I hear all of the 911 calls, the rescue calls that take place in our community. Hear what's going on. I think it'd be an eye-opening experience for many of us, what's going on up there. But did you know that just yesterday, there was not one, not two, but three calls to respond to a suicidal person. Three in one day. Now, that's unusual to have three in one day, okay? But the call for a suicidal person is not unusual at all. And sometimes it's not just a suicidal person, it's an attempt. And sadly, about four times a year in this community, it is what we call a completed suicide. People need hope. Yep. This is the beginning of the gospel, the good news. Hope. Hope of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus is Yeshua, Messiah. The Lord is my salvation. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Anointed One. He is a man. He is human. Human in every way that you and I are, except without sin. But he isn't just a man. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a man, the Messiah, and what? The Son of God. The Son of God. He is God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God, the God-man. Mark goes on to say, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. A baptism with water. A baptism with water. Mark quotes from Isaiah the prophet. 700 years before the coming of Jesus, was prophesied that there would be one who would come before the Anointed One. This one who would come before was not the Christ, was not the Anointed One, but he had a job, a task to do, which was, what, to cry out in the wilderness, prepare, prepare the way. How many of you make an effort to prepare? If you're going to have a guest in your home, how many, now be honest with me here. How many of you take a little time to prepare your home for your guest who's coming? Raise your hand if you take a little time to prepare your home. Okay, how many of you say, I got a guest coming, whatever, and they just come in and your house is exactly what it's like every other day? Anybody? Okay, we have one person. No, but you have a guest coming and you want to prepare for that guest, right? Probably means what? Picking a few things up, putting some things in order, right? Well, as Jesus was coming in, beginning his ministry, there was one who was to go before to prepare for him, to prepare for his coming, prepare for his arrival. Now, this message then to repent, it's not the same thing. When we clean up our house, we're putting things in order so it's nice for our guest, right? Well, we don't put our lives in order so now that we're ready for Jesus. Jesus is the one who puts our lives in order, isn't he? But there is a little preparing that has to take place. It's about a heart attitude, right? That's the preparation, the heart attitude of repentance. Now we're prepared for the ministry of Jesus to us. We have a heart attitude of turning from our sin and turning toward him. Now we're ready for him. So John then came preaching this message of repentance. Prepare your way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness. Baptizing. The Jews had many ritual washings that they would do. In fact, that was one of the opportunities when on the trip to Israel, I saw just how many of these ritual washing tubs there were that they have, that have been found, and that you would washing these to cleanse yourself. But they didn't baptize in the sense of being, they were ritually cleansing themselves through that. But if a Gentile converted to Judaism, they would be baptized and cleansed in that way. But now here's John calling all to baptize, that is, all to receive this cleansing water. Now, does the water of baptism clean anybody? The water itself? No. But what does it do? It is a symbol of the cleansing that comes from God. The change of heart, it's the faith and the change of heart, and it's the grace of God that does the cleansing, and it's the blood of Jesus that does the cleansing, isn't it? But the baptism and the washing of the water was a symbol, an outward symbol of an inner spiritual truth. So John came with a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Is that saying that one cannot have one's sins forgiven unless you're baptized with water? No. But it's saying what? That baptism through water was a symbol of the cleansing that came by faith. Right? A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. All the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him. They're going to the River Jordan. The River Jordan is not a very impressive river, I will tell you. It can be at times, but it isn't. And I'm going to have some pictures next week from that with the baptism of Jesus. But there's more than enough water to go in and get dunked. So John came to prepare the people with this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But it was a baptism with water, which was a symbol of a greater baptism that was to come. It was preparation for a greater ministry, a greater messenger, a greater baptism to come. They were confessing their sins. What? They were agreeing with God about their sin. They were turning away from it and turning toward God and his righteousness. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So there's another baptism that was coming. A baptism with the Spirit. By the way, we're given some details that John does, or Mark doesn't just throw those in there for no reason. John the Baptist, he was clothed with camel's hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. Why are we told those things? And why did John the Baptist dress like that and eat like that? Why do you suppose? Because it was what Elijah did. It was what prophets of old did. And he was saying that John was coming, in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And in fact, later on in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus is asked about this, and he says that John is Elijah. Not literally Elijah, but coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Right? And he preached. Some wondered if was John the one they've been waiting for? Was John the Messiah? Was he their deliverer? He said, "Oh no, not me. There's another one coming. In fact, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. He is so much greater than I." And in fact, this baptism with water that I do, his baptism will be a different baptism. It'll be a baptism with the Holy Spirit. Baptism of water was a symbol of the cleansing. A baptism with the Spirit is an eternal baptism, isn't it? That identifies us forever with Him, with the Lord Jesus. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the servant of the Lord. So what? What difference does this make? What do you want me to do with this? By the way, I'm very pleased to hear, I was told that in the weeks I was gone, all of our speakers managed to "so what," including a very clever variation of that last week on that, the "so what," right? So what? What difference does this make? Is this just a story of something that happened a long time ago in another place that involved other people that has nothing to do with you and me here today? Oh, it doesn't. Is it just me, or is it getting darker in here? So I was wondering, I've got thyroid issues. Am I having eye issues now too or something? I think God is changing the lighting in the room here for us, for a dramatic effect perhaps. I don't know. As the Spirit of the Lord calls us to prepare for the ministry of the Lord Jesus through confession and repentance. Do you believe that the ministry of the Lord Jesus is an ongoing ministry? Absolutely. It wasn't just 3.5 years, 2,000 years ago. That was the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. But it continues here and today for you and me. Are you prepared for the ongoing ministry of the Lord Jesus? How do you do that? Well, how do I do it? Through confession, through repentance. So I want to ask you a simple question. Is your life characterized by ongoing repentance? Maybe I should back up first and say, if you've never put your trust or your faith in the Lord Jesus for forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life, let's start there. Have you repented? Have you turned away from sin? Have you confessed your sinfulness? Have you grieved over your sinful alienation and rebellion against God? And have you turned then toward God in faith, accepting that gracious gift of forgiveness and eternal life in His name? But I know for many of us, yes, we have. We have done that. We have received that forgiveness, that gift of eternal life. But the battle's on, isn't it? Repentance is a lifestyle, a daily choice. Is God putting his finger on your heart right now for something you need to turn from? I'm not going to ask anybody to stand. Maybe I should, actually. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Would that be an interesting way to close out this message? Who wants to stand and confess your sin?
I would.
All right. Let's do it. Corey?
Which one?
There you go. Hey, which one? By the way, before you say anything, there are circles of appropriate confession, okay? Let me say that. You do not have to publicly confess every sin, all right? Now do you want to sit down, actually? No.
No. I just want to apologize to the church members.
I used to be in church today.
God is good. God is good. Thank you. Prepare the way. How do we prepare? By an attitude of repentance. Turning from our sin and turning toward God, who is infinitely gracious. Whose blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus, is infinitely powerful and sufficient to cleanse and forgive. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for these testimonies we've just heard here, and I know for those that we've heard, there are many, many others represented by each person in the pew. Lord, we do want to prepare ourselves for your ongoing ministry. Lord, would you make us sensitive? May we be sensitive to the voice of your Spirit when he convicts. Lord, not that we would go on a chase trying to find every sin in our lives, but that we would be sensitive and obedient to your Spirit as he convicts, as he puts his fingers on things. God, may we, through your mighty power and grace, confess that, agree with you about that, turn from that, and receive your forgiveness and receive your empowerment to live new through the Spirit. Thank you that your grace is grace upon grace, that our hope is a sure, solid rock. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.